Chapter 22. The smell of corned beef and sauerkraut permeated every molecule of air in Lexi's small VW Beetle. Lexi glanced over at her grandmother, who was in the passenger seat with the tinfoil-wrapped sandwich in her lap. Okay, Spill. What's the real reason you want to go see Jack? Nance looked sheepish.
You saw through me that quick?
Yep. Nance sighed.
Fine. We visited Douglas Faraday, and he denied having anything to do with bringing that jewelry to Jeffrey's. But Ida managed to sneak some pictures of him, and we took those over to Jeffrey's to see if he recognized him.
And did he?
No, Douglas isn't the fake grandson. But while we were there, Jack came in. He must have been following up on all the clues we found about the case.
Nan sounded pleased as punch. Lexi's left brow ticked up. Really? And what happened?
Jeffrey was quite upset, as you can imagine. I feel he is totally innocent in this. He gave the jewelry to Jack and said he wouldn't feel right selling it if there was any question as to its legitimacy.
Lexi pulled into a parking spot behind the police station and shifted in her seat to look at Nan's. So you're hoping Jack found out something more about the jewelry, then?
Nance nodded as she opened the door. Yes, and the other thing, too. Douglas did admit one thing. He slacked off with the security. He was supposed to have the security guy in, but he waited too long, and then they needed a part. That's why the camera was still glitchy. And guess who the security guy was?
Lexi frowned. I have no idea.
Freddie Lang.
Whoa. That's an interesting coincidence.
Nance nodded. And you know what I always say? There's no such thing as a coincidence.
But what does that mean? The robbery and the murder are related?
It could be. Perhaps Freddy knew a bit too much, and that's why he was killed.
So then, all this stuff going on with the dog show, the dog napping, and Edwina's car being seen at Doggy Diva the morning of the murder has nothing to do with the prize for the dog show. That would make sense, because the prize isn't big enough to be a motive for murder.
Nance frowned. Edwina's car was at Doggy Diva?
Yeah. I guess we haven't had a chance to catch up today. Jack told me last night that one of the surveillance cameras on the street showed Edwina's car at Doggy Diva early that morning. And there's another development I bet you don't know about either. Usually, Nance knew everything, so Lexi loved having the rare opportunity to get the scoop first.
Nance looked doubtful. What's that?
Prudence has been returned to Barbara.
Nance was surprised. You don't say. When? How?
Lexi told her about Barbara finding the dog as they walked over to the police station.
Sounds very convenient to me,
Nance said. Anita Dugan was sitting at the desk. She sniffed the air, her nose twitching a few times. She turned and yelled,
Jack! You got one of those smelly sandwich deliveries from your grandmother-in-law.
Jack popped his head out of the office. His face split into a smile when he saw them, but then his expression turned suspicious.
How nice of you to stop by unannounced. Come on back.
Jack kissed Lexi on the forehead and took the sandwich from Nance, then settled back behind his desk.
This is really nice of you, Mona. I'm starving.
Well, I like to do what I can.
Nance walked slowly around the room, her gaze scanning the whiteboard, the papers on Jack's desk, the computer screen. Lexi didn't think she was being very subtle about it, and apparently neither did Jack, judging by the amused expression on his face as he tried to stop sauerkraut from dripping all over the desk.
Are you looking for something in particular, Mona?
He wiped his chin.
Nance managed to look shocked. Me? No. I'm just keeping things circulating. When you get to be my age, it's good to always keep moving.
I just came from the dog show, Lexi said.
I was glad to see that Prudence has been found. Jack nodded, pausing to chew a big bite of sandwich.
Barbara called me. Said the dog was in good condition.
Don't you think it's a little odd she just randomly showed up? Nance asked. Jack shrugged.
If the dog ran off out of the house, she could have been wandering around for a few days. Dogs are known to do that, right?
I don't know. It's pretty far from here to the retirement village, Nan said. It took Lexi and me a good 10 minutes to drive here by car.
Sure, driving-wise, Jack said. But don't forget, the forest backs up from her yard to right behind the station. If Prudence got out of the house somehow, she'd probably wander into the forest, and she might have cut right across and ended up out on the street here. Anyway, it's great that she was found safe, especially since it seems like there may be something going on in that forest.
That got Nance's attention. What do you mean, something going on? Jack leaned back in his chair, smiling. Of course, Nance thought he was letting something slip, but Lexi could tell he was giving out the information on purpose. Sometimes Jack threw Nance a bone, because he knew that as a harmless senior citizen, she could get information out of people who might not want to talk to the police.
You know the jewelry I got from Jeffries earlier this morning?
Yes, we were happy to help give you that lead, Nance said.
Right. Well, we ran it through our test that shows trace elements found on the item.
Yes, I believe you mentioned you could do that before.
We found something very interesting. Apparently, the diamonds in the jewelry have been in the forest.
In the forest? Jack nodded.
As you know, we have a huge population of deer here, and oddly enough, we found residue from deer antlers on the diamonds.
But why would the diamonds be in the forest? Nance asked.
Who knows? Maybe the thief thought it was a good place to hide them. If someone stole them from Faraday Jewelers and wanted to stash them somewhere until they could put them in those settings, that might be an ideal place, Jack said.
How do you know the diamonds in the jewelry were from Faraday's, though?
I don't think the thief was very smart. Diamonds have tiny identification numbers etched into them. You need a special magnifier to read them. But Louise came in today and identified them.
You don't say. That is an interesting twist. Nance looked at Lexi. Well, I think I better get back to my place. Helen is coming over later with the big reveal from the trail camera, and I need to get a little nap in. You're invited to join us, Lexi. Nance turned to Jack. Hope you enjoyed the sandwich.
I did. And the company, as always.
Jack winked at Lexi as she followed Nance out of his office. Lexi knew better than to show up for a session with the Ladies Detective Club empty-handed, so she made sure to snag some treats from the cup and cake before going over to Nance's place to look at the trail camera photos later that day. Cassie had cut the failed sheepdog cake into pieces, which were perfect to bring for the ladies. Ida took the box from her as soon as she stepped through the door. I'll just get these out on some dessert plates. She bustled away into the kitchen. I just finished filling everyone in on our little visit with Jack, Nan said. Interesting developments, but I'm really glad that Prudence is okay, Ruth said. She was sitting at the dining room table, fiddling with a brown rectangular device that Lexi assumed was the trail camera. Do you have that card out yet? Ida asked as she slid the refreshments onto the table. I'm not sure which button to press. Ruth started shaking the box and pressing various buttons until finally a thin card slid out. She handed it to Helen, who fitted it into the adapter. Now, if I just attach this to my computer... Ruth picked up her iPad and started looking at the edges for a slot that matched the one on the adapter. I don't think you can put that in an iPad, Lexi said. I think you need a computer. I have one in the office.
Nance headed off down the hall, returning quickly with a laptop. Helen squinted at the sides of it and finally found the right slot. A window appeared on the computer, showing a grainy black-and-white picture of a raccoon approaching a trash can outside the senior center.
"That doesn't look like our thief," Nan said. "Try clicking on the arrow."
Helen did as told and scrolled through a picture of a deer, a cat, and a blurry image of a couple. Ida squinted, almost pressing her nose against the screen.
"Hey, that looks like Ruth and Mario."
Everyone turned to face Ruth, whose cheeks turned bright red.
"I was helping him with the accounting. He is the treasurer, you know, and he can hardly press the buttons on the calculator with his arthritis."
Nance looked incredulous.
"In the middle of the night?" "It looks like you're kissing," Ida said.
Ruth grabbed the computer.
"Never mind that. Let's see if we can find the thief."
She clicked the arrow several times. "Stop. I thought I saw something." Lexi reached around Ruth and hit the back arrow. Everyone gasped. The picture on the screen was of Millie Dixon. She had her head bent over the lock to the storeroom. The next frame showed her opening the door.
"Looks like we found our K-cup thief."
Helen's tone was triumphant. Nance's eyes narrowed.
"Millie Dixon?" "Millie was in the woods gathering herbs. Jack thinks the diamonds were in the woods. William saw her at Jeffrey's jeweler's. Maybe stealing K-cups isn't her only crime."